This is the Irish Spark Podcast, and you're welcome back for our second in a series of readings from the Socialist Voice, titled A Time That Called for Giants. You can find a link to the article down in the show notes, or if you're like me and you like to read the old-fashioned way, you can get a physical copy of the Socialist Voice in Ireland's oldest radical bookshop, the excellent Connolly Books, located in the heart of Dublin city centre. We have the author, Dr. Jenny Farrell, coming up next. Enjoy and stay safe.
The great Italian painter and architect Raphael died 500 years ago on the 6th of April, 1520. He lived at the time of the High Renaissance, one of the most progressive periods of history. As Friedrich Engels put it, it was the greatest progressive revolution that mankind has so far experienced, a time which called for giants and produced giants, giants in power of thought, passion and character, in universality and learning. The High Renaissance, 1500 to 1530, witnessed a high point for the visual arts. Even in the turmoil of the Italian Wars, from 1494 to 1559, the arts did not lose their importance. Florence was cultural metropolis of the Medici, 1450 to 1494. In the early 16th century, Rome took over this role. By the time Renaissance art reached its peak, Italy's economic decline had begun. The Italian bourgeoisie withdrew into banking and usury, investing their capital in land. This ultimately led to a revival of feudal conditions in Italy. Absolutism replaced republican control. However, the progressive thinkers and artists of the 16th century all remained committed to the defense of the people. Their work appeared in the vernacular and emphasized national and democratic ideals. This made the Italian High Renaissance a significant and unparalleled event. Raphael was born in Urbino in 1483. Aged 17, he joined the Perugino workshop. Here he first learned to give expression to psychological delicacy, which arises with the Renaissance discovery of human beings as this worldly individuals. From 1504 to 1508, Raphael worked in Florence. As Raphael's fame spread, Pope Julius II called him to Rome. Michelangelo was painting the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel at the time. Leonardo da Vinci was at the height of his creativity. Leonardo and Michelangelo had studied the anatomy of the human body and its movements. They created their compositions from the action and interaction of living bodies and moving faces. So Raphael went to Rome at the behest of Julius II, the warrior pope. During the Renaissance, the popes were not only ecclesiastical leaders but also princes of Roman territories. Julius participated personally in wars and famously stated he preferred the smell of gunpowder to that of incense. Furthermore, he sought to construct magnificent buildings as witness to his power and that of the church. In 1509, he commissioned Raphael to decorate some Vatican rooms with monumental frescoes on ceilings and walls. One of these is the School of Athens. Set in a great architectural illusion, the School of Athens portrays an entirely male ancient world. Curiously, seeing this is the Vatican, modern Christian thinkers do not appear. Although many of the figures lived at different times, they are shown together as part of the Athens school. The two main figures of the work, centered under the archway, represent two schools: Plato, to whom Raphael gives Leonardo's features, pointing upwards into the realm of ideas; his student Aristotle, gesturing to earthly physical experience. Each of these philosophers holds his book representing his thinking. Plato holds the Timaeus, Aristotle his Ethics, both in modern binding of Raphael's time. Their clothes support their stances. Plato is dressed in the colors of air and fire, Aristotle in those of earth and water. The painting divides into two halves along these lines: philosophers, poets, and thinkers on Plato's side, physicists, scientists, and the more empirical thinkers gather on Aristotle's side. On the left, along with Plato, you can see the Greek philosopher Socrates, Plato's teacher, talking to Athenians. Socrates famously expounded his philosophical thinking in conversation with people, emphasizing arguments on his fingers. In the foreground, Pythagoras sits with a book and an inkwell, surrounded by students. Epicurus, with a crown of vine leaves, taught that happiness lies in the pursuit of pleasures arising from freedom from fear and absence of pain. On Aristotle's side, Euclid, explaining the laws of geometry with a compass, demonstrates the measurability of actual things. His face is modeled on the great architect Bramante. Bramante's design of St. Peter's was based on a geometrical pattern of circles and squares. Raphael was entrusted with the completion of this building after Bramante's death in 1514. The Pope permitted German Dominicans to sell indulgences to pay for it, which ultimately helped spark the Protestant Reformation in 1517. The two figures are placed here in isolation in the foreground. The two philosophers are Diogenes and Heraclitus, the latter being the first great European dialectician wearing the clothes of a stonemason. Raphael gave him Michelangelo's features. The great mathematician and astronomer Ptolemy, wearing a yellow robe, holds a terrestrial globe in his hand, facing the Persian Zoroaster, showing a celestial sphere. The young man standing among these scientists and the only figure looking directly at the viewer is Raphael himself. Incorporating this self-portrait into a work of such intellectual history was a confident stance for the artist. Placing himself and the portraits of some of his contemporary artists in this fresco, along with the greatest thinkers in European history, elevates the significance of the arts in the High Renaissance. The Sistine Madonna. Raphael was one of the great discoverers of the feminine in painting. His lifelong preoccupation with the Madonna that guided him to this subject, the love between human mother and child, indeed one might say that ancient mother cults live on in this theme. Around 1512-1513, he created his three large Marian altars, among them the Sistine Madonna. In this work, Raphael continues to make Mary appear more maternal and more human. The model is assumed to be Margareta Luti, the daughter of a Roman baker and Raphael's partner for the last 12 years of his life. She expresses great human depth as she comes barefoot, carrying her child like a peasant woman. Her left arm, his right arm, and her flowing veil form a protective circle around the child. The child echoes his mother's apprehensive expression as he snuggles up to her. It is a profoundly human and this-worldly depiction. The two angels at the bottom of the painting appear to have escaped from the heavenly hosts in the background, but also look exceedingly human. The very original host of ghostly angels' faces crowding in the background add to the forward drive of the Madonna, who seems to be walking right out of the painting. Raphael died on his birthday, aged just 37 years, on the 6th of April, 1520, after 8 days of illness from pneumonia, and was buried the following day in the Pantheon.
Thank you for listening to the Irish Spark podcast. If you like the show, please give us a review on iTunes or whatever platform you're listening from. It really helps us out and helps the show to reach more people. If you'd like to get in touch, please send us an email at theirishspark@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Follow us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. The details are in the description. We hope to see you again in a couple of weeks for our next episode. Take care.